I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you feel trapped? Because I do. I feel trapped all the time. Things like unpaid bills and unfinished projects. I'm sorry to my wife, and unresolved arguments. I'm extra sorry to my wife. And all of my other unsettled issues feel like they are perpetually threatening as the unknown future just continues to close in. And in the past, all those thoughts produced panic attacks in me. I don't think I've told you this. Last week, Kathleen, there you are. Kathleen came up here and she was like, did you guys know that I'm nervous all the time every time I come up here? And I'm like, shenanigans. No, you're not. There's no way that that's true. Because you're like, for half a second, they're like, oh, wait, I'm Kathleen. And it's great. And we're all like, you don't get to be nervous. I get to be nervous. I mess up all the time. And in the past, I used to have these panic attacks so bad that I would have to pull over while driving just to collect myself, like to breathe and everything. And once, I'm just letting you know how bad this got, once I woke my wife up in the middle of the night because I was convinced I was having a heart attack. And I made her drive me to the ER, and we got there, and they called in the cardiologist who's like, all right, give me a massive amount of money to tell you that I think it's indigestion or whatever. And I was like, thank you, medical system. Anyway, but I went down there and you know, all that to find out that I'm just having these panic attacks, right? And so I started managing that. It was really, really tough. So when God led me to start preaching in front of you terrifying people, I almost exploded every single Sunday morning for years. It was the scariest thing. And as much as I liked the idea of pastoring, like I felt like I got something to say, and I love people, and I'm just realizing, hey, I'm on fire, I want to do this. I was constantly confused why God didn't just do both of us a favor and design me different, like change how I am, or just use a better option. But not this guy. Instead, it seemed like he deliberately put me in these incredibly daunting situations to provoke my anxiety, to like make me this like really, oh my gosh, it was just all over me. And then, even more, then I felt convicted for feeling more worried than trusting. Because in the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'll do it, Lord, I'll go do it. And then he's like, well, why don't you trust me? And I'm like, because this is, explode. And that's how I felt, like every Sunday morning. So come on, I was like, Lord, what kind of monster routinely exploits someone's worst fear by leading them into situations specifically designed to experience that fear? You monster. You know what we call those? We call those loving monsters. Those loving monsters are called good parents, and you all know it. You do it to your kids, it was done to you. Loving monsters do this because good parents want their kids to confront and conquer fear, not accommodate it. Right? We do not live with it. And the parents don't do this because they enjoy watching the struggle in their kids a little bit. We don't do it because we're sadistic. We don't do it because we like watching the struggle, but because we know that weakness isn't just uncomfortable. It can be deadly dangerous. Because until kids see what it is that they lack and who it is that they need, they let themselves believe that they're good to go on their own, that they already know everything. But that is the Lord of the Flies. That's what happens. If you leave them alone and you let them be in charge, that's it. Where we all see in that situation, the illusion of maturity is a recipe for self-destruction. Right? You're not old. It's like putting a three-year-old behind a tractor. You can't do it yet, right? So loving parents protect us by helping us see our deficiencies ASAP. And that should change how we hear the word anxious. Because anxious can mean, I mean, remember this, we don't think about it. Anxious can mean worried, or it can mean eager, right? Like, I'm anxious about the future means I'm filled with dread, but I'm anxious to see what happens means I'm filled with excitement, right? I'm eager, I'm excited. It's the same word, different relationship to the situation. So when we feel weak because we're at the end of our abilities, the sooner that we see it as a loving lesson, the sooner our anxiety can transform from fear to faith. You know, God's in control. He's doing something with this.
And this is exactly why God loves doing this with his kids. He loves leading his kids down these dead ends for them to come to the end of themselves. You remember the Red Sea? Everyone know that story in the Bible? You know, Israel's running away and then we hit the sea. There's nowhere else to go. And here comes the Egyptian army. And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them with nowhere to go. So they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. More on that later. So Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. You know, be excited. You can be anxious, but be excited. Bless you. Be excited, not afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today, because the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Yeah. Amen. And we all know what happened next, right? We all know what happened next. After Israel finally admitted they were out of options, were toast, that's when they were finally able to actually see that true strength required surrender to a superior Savior, right? Cry out to God. And he's like, "It's about time. Here we go. Smite," you know, and he just took care of them. And the funny part was, this is the thing that I really want you to hear. The funny part was, they weren't trapped because they ignored God. They were trapped because they followed God, right? God led them right into this trap because, like we said, to protect us from ourselves, a loving Father needs us to admit our weakness. But once we do, he loves teaming up to crush all of our enemies, all of our adversity, and just undermine that fear. So you're like, "What are you so afraid of? Like, you're fine. Look, we got this." And that right there, that's what Red Sea moments are all about. Okay? These Red Sea moments where you just come to a dead end, bringing us to the end of ourselves to teach us that our only real need is God's true love. Right? Because if you got that, everything else doesn't matter. So don't worry, be happy. Because there is no fear in love. Right? If you get a grip on that love, there's no fear in it. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. But love, remember, love has to do with empowerment and encouragement. So the one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, still not there yet. Until we understand the depths of God's perfect love, how it really works, what he's willing to do, and how he's going to do it, we will naturally see all these dead-end setups in our life as attacks from an enemy, right? "Oh, I'm losing," you know. But the truth is, traps can be hostile or helpful. They really can, one or the other. And when God led Israel into their Red Sea dead end, which looks like, you know, well, that's the end of Israel, right? It was a trap. But it was a trap for Israel's two biggest enemies, Egypt and anxiety, right? It felt like it was for them, but it was Egypt and anxiety. They got trapped and killed that day, because after being physically free of Egypt, when they got delivered and they're out of there, Israel was still emotionally enslaved by the fear of this unknown future without Egypt. They were terrified of it. And we hear it actually in Scripture all the time, because before God parts the sea, Israel reveals how their heart was the real enemy, saying, "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Let's go back. Like, let's quit. Let's get out of here. Let's just go home," right? And this theme continues throughout the Bible. You see it in Acts and throughout Exodus. There's a whole bunch of that where they're just like, "This is too scary. I quit. Let's go home." And you see it in the Bible to remind us this. The biggest threat to our freedom is internal, not external. It's nothing out there. It's inside. It's in your heart. So God was not just getting Israel out of Egypt. He was getting Egypt out of Israel, trying to take them away from that heart. He was using this hopeless situation to show how his limitless love could liberate a fearful heart. Say, "What are you so afraid of?" Because until we trust his love enough to stop worrying about all of our situations down here, then three fatal flaws are going to continue to feed our fear enough to keep it in control. And we'll be a slave to it. And those three things are self-sufficiency, insecurity, and immaturity. Right? Those things lead to fear so easily. So God lovingly, as a loving parent does, uses these Red Sea dead ends in all of our lives to catch and kill all three threats to our heart. Because loving parents know, number one, dead ends trap self-sufficiency, right? You think you're a hotshot. You think you can do it all. Well, dead ends really put an end to that, right? Like we were saying before, it is dangerous to believe that we can manage what we're not equipped to handle. I am that guy. I think I can do everything until I have to. Then I can't. And that is very proved, right? But all of us kids, and I mean all of us kids, we can't quit buying the delusion. We think that we're pretty good at everything. And it's because, like all kids, right, kids watch mom and dad drive for a while and they start thinking, I can do that. You know, I can do that. Wheel and pedals and don't run people over. How hard can it be? Right? That's it. You know how hard it is. That was pretty much me, though. That was pretty much me as a teenager. And it took quite a few traps before I admitted how helpless and stupid I was. But boy, was I helpless and stupid. And my dad was the dad who liked to point that out, like by letting me hang myself. That was the expression, I'll give you enough rope to hang yourself all the time. And he would just let me constantly run my mouth to continually inflate my ego. You know, I think I could do. I wrote a book once, by the way. No, I take it back. I didn't write a book. My brother wrote a book as like a graduation present or something. And it was called Man vs. Raptor because I was like convincing everyone when Jurassic Park came out. And I'm like, I think I could take a raptor. And everyone was like, no, you can't. It's the stupidest thing. I said, no, I mean, like, I just, you know, I had a plan. I was like, I'll, you know, see, they're not good in kitchens. And anyway, I was like, yeah, I was convincing myself that I could, thank goodness. Side note, I'll get copies for you guys to read. It's amazing. I'm so delusional as a teenager. I thought I could do anything, right? So my dad and my brother, these sort of people, would just let me keep inflating my ego, right? Just so that they could then prove how easily it could pop, you know, which it just is. So, for instance, this took very specifically, my father, I was riding with my father in this 40-foot mobile clinic that he used to drive across country for a job. That's not it, but it's essentially exactly that size and everything. And I was driving, I'm riding shotgun, and I don't remember what I said or what we were doing or anything, but I was probably just being like, you know, the other thing's great about me and how capable I am and everything. And whatever happened, he just quietly pulled off the freeway and told me to switch seats. So being a hotshot, I said, yeah, no big deal, whatever, that sounds cool. And I jumped into the driver's seat, and I just pulled away, and the sweat started pouring down. Because I thought I knew driving, I thought I can drive, but the size of this thing, the blind spots, you truckers, my hat is off to you. This thing is terrifying. The turn radius, I'm going to kill everybody in this thing. And nobody tells you about the wobbling in the wind. If you have RVs and stuff, if you have to go over a bridge, just end it now. That thing is like the scariest thing. At the end of that, I just hoped it was sweat that was pooling beneath me because I was just so scared. And boom, just like that, this hotshot was just happy to admit defeat and humbly switch seats. I was like, I'm done. That's that. You can take that wet seat and, you know, good luck. I was so happy to admit that I could not do it. But before that, I'm sure I'd be like, I can dig it across country, no big deal. And later on is when I really got what happened, right? It wasn't that my dad set me up to fail, which is, I'm sure, how I read it at the time. Like, he was just being a jerk trying to show me that I couldn't do this thing. But the lesson really was this, because I'm a dad now and I get it. Dad let me discover my limits while close enough to keep me safe. Right? He's right there. So as much as I felt like we were all going to die, I know that he was like, let's not die. You know, like he was could just, that is a classic dad trap. Right? I set them all the time for my kids now too, and I love it, and you know you do as well. But just say, oh, you think you can do it? That's great. Good luck, you know. Move out. Yeah. Graduation, right around the corner. We're just, anyway. Classic dad traps, right? That's it. Because loving parents let you feel the real weight to create caution before being crushed. Right? They don't want you hurt. They want you to know that you could be hurt. Because loving parents know that self-sufficiency can destroy their kids unless their kids destroy self-sufficiency. Right? You have to get that out of them. Otherwise, they're going to think they can do things that they can't, and they're going to kill themselves. Because pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And I was the haughtiest. I mean, I thought I could do anything, and boy, I had to learn that a lot. So that's good. It's a good thing, right? It kills that self-sufficiency, makes you realize that you are dependent, right? But in the same way that overestimating our ability can lead to a crushing reality check, underestimation, you know, go the other way, underestimation can foster even more fear. Because while self-sufficiency tells our heart, I don't need help, you know, I can do it, whatever, insecurity says, even with help, I can't do it. Like, I can't even, God can't even use me. Like, it's just not possible. But loving parents also know that dead ends trap that insecurity, right? We can't have that either. And that is vital because it doesn't just deny dependence. Insecurity denies your design. For the spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline, right? That's what we have. Dead ends may put a healthy fear into the self-sufficient to humble the heart, right? Like, that's the idea. You get in there, you go, never mind, I can't quite do that thing. That's good. That brings you back down. But that can go too far. That is just to get ourselves off of God's throne so that he can take control. And then we can grow faith in him, that faith that kills all the fear of everything else. But until we personally crown God as king by following Jesus as our Lord, well, fear is going to sit in his spot. And when fear rules our heart, humility becomes insecurity. You know, this is how it swings too far. You realize, I can't do that. Well, maybe I can't do anything. You know, and insecurity is terrible. So God sets these traps to depose fear, get it off of that throne by exposing its lies. Because humility isn't admitting weakness. It's making room for strength. He's not doing that just to say, see, you can't do anything. He's saying you can't do anything alone. But with him, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? You make room for him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So sometimes a loving parent puts us in situations where backing out is harder than moving forward. Because he wants us to taste our potential. And he knows that we will never discover strength that we never have to use. So he baits us into it. He says, come on, see how you, it's not that you can't do anything. See what you can do. Which is why I am so glad, quote unquote, I'm so glad that God trapped me on an Alaskan fishing boat. We've talked about this in the past. I'm triggered whenever I see that picture. But I'm so glad he did, though. This is a pivotal moment for me. Because when I was up there, insecurity wasn't an option. Because I literally couldn't afford to quit. I wanted to. Again, I want you to know I'm a coward. I wanted to quit. I got up there. I saw how hard it was, how scary everything was, and I wanted out. But you got to make enough money to fund your fear before you can give into it. You got to buy your own ticket. So I went to work. I mean, I had to. I had no other choice. It was very clever the way that they do that, by the way. They'll get you up to Alaska and they say, hey, yeah, we'll buy your plane ticket and get up there. And then you're like, yeah, it's not for me. And they're like, oh, it's too bad. You live in Alaska now. That's a, find your own way home. And so I went to work. I went to work, and every moment that I worked was harder than every other job that this hotshot had ever had. And it was so scary and difficult. But as I kept grinding, I discovered something that I never would have learned if escape had been an option. I was tougher than I thought. I was. I've talked about that in the past. I remember I worked a 46-hour day, grueling. I looked good, man. I had muscles and all kinds of, but I mean, like, I was way tougher than I thought. And I used to tell them all the time, I was like, listen, you make me keep working, I'm going to fall over dead. Like, I'm just, you're pushing the boundaries of human ability, and you will have a dead kid on your boat, and then my parents are going to sue you, and that's going to be the end of your whole fishing everything. And they're like, yeah, that's, you know, what people say. And I'm like, people say all that, and they're like, yeah, nobody dies. And they were right, though. I kept grinding, and I just saw who I really was, and I learned that God built me with a way higher capacity than fear had told me. The fear told me I couldn't do this, and God was like, go check it out. You can. And so, in fact, I now felt like after coming back, you do this. You just kind of walk around different and everything. You know, you can't get through doorways because you're just too big and tough. And I now felt, I was like, if I can do this, maybe I can do anything, right? But it wasn't the same cockiness. It was different because the work was hard enough that I barely survived. When I say I did that and I thought I was tough, I was still like lowest man on the totem pole and I was embarrassing, I am sure. But I learned that I could do more than I thought. And I learned to be confident without being cocky. And that's where God wants you. And I say that, I was still a little cocky. He had to beat that. He's still working on that in me, but he's doing a good job because I am learning all the time how you're supposed to be confident but not be cocky. And that's how God traps insecurity but preserves that humility. He says, I want you to have humility, but I don't want you to be, you know, insecure, think that you can't do this stuff. Just like Israel at the Red Sea, it was the same thing. Their first instinct was, why did you bring us here to die? You know, it would have been easier to just serve Egypt. They say it a lot. They're like, can we just go back? We want to quit. We want to quit. We want to quit. You can't. Put them in a spot where you can't quit. He says, that's it. That was insecurity talking to them. But while fear was making them wish that they could have quit, that there was another way out, God was making them discover their potential power by saying, and this is such a dad line right here too, right? Why are you crying to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Yeah, you get that, right? Switch seats with me, son, hot shot. But go forward. Can you imagine the response, really, in all of Israel, where that's the, like, what's God's got a plan? You know, he's going to do something, right? What is it? Are they all going to, you know, lightning bolts or something? And you're like, no, go forward. What? Into what? Where do you, in the sea? You want us to go into the sea? Nice plan. That's really good, God. That's good. That is impossible, of course, you understand, unless you move the sea. To which I imagine God would say, exactly. Right? Exactly, exactly. There's no way that it could happen, right? Because God does not need them to know his plan. He just wants them to follow him into it. And that's it, okay? That is the message. That is what I want you to hear today. Go forward. Okay? Go forward. Wherever you feel trapped right now, you know, whatever is going on in your life, if you didn't do your taxes right for the last 2 years, now you owe a ton of money and you aren't very good at it. And your wife is like, why haven't you done the taxes, Noah? And you're like, I don't know how to do them right. And everything's closing in, or your situation, but something like that, right? However you feel trapped and you feel like there's no way out and you just can't quite, you know, you can't see a way through, go forward. Just go forward. It is your Red Sea moment to follow God into the sea. He'll part it. You just got to move. You got to go. Not because you've conquered your anxiety, not because you're not afraid, but because you're anxious to see what God does next. Good anxious. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do. He's got to solve. We have this all the time in our household because after we get that where we're like, all right, God, you flooded our house again. Can't wait to see what you're doing. Like, I don't know what it is right now, but we'll go forward and be like, God's got a plan. Moppy, moppy, mop. And it was, I can't wait to see what it is. And you do. You see it in hindsight. And it's hard, though. It's hard when you're looking forward, right? And if it does feel hard, he gets that. And Jesus says, okay, listen, look at the birds of the air, right? Your heavenly Father feeds them. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor. It's not about what you can do. So he's the one who's going to take care of it. You just go forward. So don't think that the end of your ability is the end of your story, right? It looks like a dead end to you, but it's not. Look around, he's saying, look around. Everything down here has less control than you. And yet somehow everything down here is less worried than you. You ever think about that? There's not a bunch of deer having panic attacks. They're just like, I'm a deer. You just go forward. You have all this control, and you are the most worried, frightened thing here. It should be the other way around. Because Christ is just echoing. When he says, take a look, everything's under control, he's just echoing the same message as all of God's creation, which is this. You aren't holding the world together. Your Father is. So take a breath. You know, it's okay. Be excited to see what he's going to do next. Because that right there, when you have that moment, when that truth finally sits on the throne in your heart, That's where anxiousness can change from fear into faith. I'm anxious to see what God's going to do. Because if we were responsible for everything alone, right? If that was the case, if we were like, it's all on our shoulders, well, then we should worry. We should worry about the unknown. What are we going to do? Because without us, it's going to fall apart. But when we see that our Father has got the whole world in his hands and that everything is going according to his plan, well, then the unknown should produce eagerness. You know, hey, I don't need to know. I just know that it's going to be all right because he's in control. So I'm eager. I'm not worried. I'm eager about it, which leads to the third trap. Loving parents trap immaturity. Because the goal isn't just killing off our self-sufficiency and our insecurity. It is also growing our maturity. Because immaturity can't see how dependence and responsibility can coexist. Right? It can't, when you're a kid, it's like if you feel one or the other. You swing between this, like, I don't need anything. I'm God's gift to the world. And then it swings the other way. You go, oh, whoops, I can't do that. Well, then I can't do anything. You know, it's just one or the other. I don't know how, you know, you don't know how to hold both of those things together. But mature children, as they start to grow up, they learn that you can do both at the same time. You can say, I'm responsible and I'm capable, but I'm not alone. Right? I'm not alone. It's not all on me. And Paul says that right there, getting that, that is the key to our true identity. Because the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. You know, like you're completely dependent. I'm saying you are dependent, but not like so much so that you have to be afraid. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption. And the key difference being, if we are children, then we are heirs to the throne, right? So you get that? I mean, this is a big distinction. We are neither 100% in control, nor are we 100% incapable. We're neither. We're a little bit of both, but we have a lot. We're 99% in a lot of areas. We are royal heirs, right? We are kids of the king. And as kids, we're supposed to depend on dad for direction. But as heirs, we're supposed to take responsibility for dad's creation, right? He's saying, hey, look, I'm in control of everything, but I want you to learn how to take care of it. That is the balance, right? That is the balance. So Christian maturity means being like God without trying to be God. That is the difficult thing. That is the hardest thing to do, trying to be like God without being God. And it is harder than it sounds because we just keep putting ourselves on that throne. But it is very easy to see. You can see exactly what it's supposed to look like because as every single dead end traps and kills our self-sufficiency, you know, makes me realize, oh, I can't do it, or my insecurity, oh, I can do more than I thought with the Lord. Well, we organically grow in this intimacy with the Lord. As we're following him into the sea, as he's saying, go forward, you go forward and you do it. And each step of the way, he keeps saying, see, I'm right beside you. I'm right there. You spend more quality time in those very difficult situations with him. And as he leads you through every single one of your Red Sea moments in your life where you can't see a way out and then he just brings you through it, well, that's when Christ's character becomes more and more clear so our character can become more and more like Christ. Right? Because you just start trusting it more. You start seeing there's always a way. You start seeing there's a plan. You start seeing God's right there. You're not going to crash the big truck. He's right there with you. Because every dead end isn't just a trap. Dead ends are furnaces where relationships are forged. You know, you can really get to know each other in those moments, the hardest times. That's where you really get the closest. And the more we let Christ's love drive out that fear, the more we mature into his image, which modeled perfectly the perfect balance of empowered responsibility and trusting dependence. You know, this is Jesus. He's, like he said, I can call down angels and I can just end this whole thing right now. You know that, right? But I'm not gonna because I'm doing what the Father tells me. Because when the Father led Jesus to the cross's ultimate dead end and told him, go forward, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Boom. That's it. Not my will, but yours be done. That is perfect maturity. That is the responsible dependence of a royal heir. Somebody who can rule like dead, not self-sufficient, not totally helpless. That's what allowed Jesus to confidently walk to the cross. You know, not cocky, just confident. Just walk to the cross and just know that, yeah, this is all for the right reasons. This is going to work so that every single kid who is trapped by sin could be rescued by love. Because when God rules your heart, even the grave is not a dead end. It is just where Christ's love trapped death itself. Right? You think that you're going into a dead end. How are you going to get me out of here? It's for your enemies. It's for death. That's what's happening. So I'll ask you again, do you feel trapped? Like in your life, think about all the stuff that's really going on right now. There's a lot of tough stuff in life, and you can feel overwhelmed, and you can just absolutely feel trapped. So do you feel trapped? That's a good thing. You should. You should feel trapped because you are surrounded all the time. But it's not the way you think. You are surrounded by the trustworthy hands of a loving Father. Even the hardest stuff that's closing in right now, that is the loving hands of your Father. The same way that a child is held in a hug to keep them from walking into a fire. You ever had a toddler around a campfire? You just hold on to them. You love them, but they're like squirming and they want to get out. You're like, this hug is to keep you safe. That's the feeling, right? He's got you surrounded with all of the things in your life in that same way. And like a child, until you get it, until you really understand, and you let dad's love drown out your fear, life will always feel more hostile than helpful. You know, you'll keep saying, like, why is he picking on me? Why is this going? You've just got to see that it's all for your good. So the next time that you think the walls are closing in, just remember, God is not trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy the enemies that are threatening you. And he's got them right where he wants them, and it's just in the plan, and it's working great. And to deliver you from their attack, all you have to do is go forward, because he's the guy who's going to part that sea. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you, and we thank you for leading us into the dead ends that expose weakness in our heart and deepen trust in your love. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you turn our anxiety from fear to faith by catching and killing all of our self-sufficiency, all of our insecurity, and just rooting out all of the immaturity. And Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you for modeling the responsible dependence of God's royal heir to inspire our trust in the Father's love and to make us eager to follow him into every single Red Sea moment in our lives. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.